Greetings, couch potatoes across the country, around the world, and on the internet. I am Kevin Carr.
And I'm Neil Miller, and you're listening to Fat Guys at the Movies this weekend of May 4th, and you know what that means.
That means Lucky You came out in the theaters, which everybody has anticipating and waiting since it was originally supposed to be released in September.
Well, yeah, you know, I mean, World Series of Poker is getting kind of big, so...
That's true. Is there anything else besides Lucky You?
A very low-budget film.
This little art house film.
Yes.
You may have heard of it.
Somewhere in the $350 million
range. I think
range.
It's called Spider-Mon or something like that. Three.
Spider-Man 3.
Spider-Man 3.
Spider-Man
that's what
3.
It's called.
We have officially kicked off the summer movie season.
That's right. And we are the Fat Guys at the Movies. And with us today is a guy. He's not a fat guy by visual appearance, but he is fat with knowledge. Our resident Spider-Man expert, Chris Alexis. Say hi to the crowd.
Hi to the crowd.
Okay, now be quiet. He's in the cage right now because we only let him out to speak occasionally, as we do with all of our guests.
Yes.
Unless they're pretty, like Danielle Fishel we had a couple weeks
ago.
Oh,
yeah, she can speak whenever she wants.
That's right. Kevin's doing a fabulous job. Remember that. All right. We're going to talk about Spider-Man in a little bit, but let's get through a couple housekeeping things, contact information.
Absolutely. Ways you can contact the Fat Guys at the Movies. Number one is email, fatguys@filmschoolrejects.com. You can also reach us at our web address, fatguysatthemovies.com. You can also catch up with us if you want to give us a couple of votes, show us some support, dig.com. podcastalley.com, and there's also a way that you can call us.
You forgot grannysanddiapers.com.
Well, you know, we had to pay for that one. So,
okay.
And our hotline, of course, you can call us and leave us a voicemail at area code 614-388-8735. And we're still, even after 3 weeks of having the hotline, unable to find out what that corresponds with. We can't make a word out of that, so maybe we have to get a new phone.
We're working on it. It's like, you know, 388 or something like
exactly.
that.
Yeah, exactly.
So, yeah, give us a call, send us an email, flame us, tell us we're doing great, tell, you know, Danielle, give me a call, say Kevin's doing a fabulous job.
Yes.
And we'll move on to right now, what we're going to be talking about today, we're of course going to be reviewing the most anticipated film of the summer, Lucky
yep.
You, and we'll also talk a little bit about Spider-Man
yes.
3. We got some entertainment news, box office prediction, DVD roundup in the second half, and then we'll bring Chris out of the cage with his zipper mask on, and he can talk to us about Spider-Man lore and history and how the movies are different from the comics and all that kind of stuff for the geeks out there.
Oh yeah, so a lot of stuff.
So we got a lot of stuff going on. Let's start with Lucky You.
All right.
This is Curtis Hanson's follow-up to 8 Mile, correct?
Yeah, and it, you know, you go right from working with Eminem, hardcore rapper, to Drew Barrymore.
Hardcore drug addict hardcore, at the age of 12 or something
like
that.
There you go. I mean, so it's a hardcore path. Curtis Hanson walks the line.
Yes. Let's take a listen.
Okay. Texas Hold'em. Each player gets two cards that no one else sees.
One more heart and you've got a flush.
I'm out. I fold.
The trick is to not let the other players know when you've got something good. Hence the expression, poker face.
This is what I do.
You don't work, you just gamble?
For $10,000.
Bet?
Bet.
Yes!
Who said it's not work?
You raised me with nothing.
Sometimes nothing's enough.
So there you go. Sometimes nothing is enough. And if there's anything that sums up this movie,
it's that
line. I'll tell you that this movie, there is a whole lot of nothing in this movie. If you like nothing, go see Lucky You.
Yes, absolutely. And I know we saw this together, and we didn't hold hands, by the way. But
we spooned.
They want you to hold hands. It builds a chick flick. Really, the only good part about it is there's some cool poker scenes.
There's some good lines in there.
There's some
like
great
three
lines.
Three really great lines, and then that's it.
There are some very interesting boobs in the movie.
Yes,
I guess
there are boobs in the movie, but
They're attached to a guy.
Yeah. I mean, literally, and there's no woman involved in the boobs.
Right. So. Literally, a man with boobs shows up, and at that point, Kevin and I both looked at each other and said, yeah, this is lame.
Of course, if somebody paid me $50,000 to get breast implants for 6 months, I probably would,
because
I'm a poor and a greedy bastard, and I need I would take the money. But no, Lucky You, the biggest problem is it was way too long, I had no sympathy for the character played by Eric Bana because he is a habitual gambler. And he, I am not, I don't gamble that much, but when I do, I at least know to keep your money in your other pocket and hold on. It's like going to a strip club. You keep your money in your other pocket and you only use the other ones for the special dances.
Right.
You know, and the same thing at the blackjack table or the poker table. You only bet what you got. And he just, it's just bad decision after bad decision after bad decision.
Right.
And what I got irritated at was when he's at the poker table, whenever it comes up to his turn, he then turns and has a big soliloquy that he talks to somebody and it just gets boring.
Right, right. And just like if you've ever played poker, on a serious level, it is a very steady and slow game, very tedious game that can be very painful if played well.
Yeah.
The movie's the same way. It's very slow, very tedious.
And painful.
And very painful.
Yes.
And really, you get tired, you lose interest, you check your watch. It's not very engaging of a film.
That literally,
yeah, literally checking literally, your watch.
Yeah, I checked it twice. In the, about two-thirds of the way through the film, I lean back and I go... And I'm like, oh my God, did I do that out loud? I was so like just bored with the film. And Drew Barrymore's in it, and she just sort of phones in her performance. Yeah. Her character's
it's
not that
good. Standard
great.
Drew Barrymore movie where at the end, here comes the spoiler.
Don't spoil the movie. Don't spoil the movie because there's going to be one crackhead in like Saginaw who's listening to this, who wants to see it, and you're going to just ruin their day.
All right, never mind.
It's for all those crackheads out there in Saginaw. But, you know, this, it was a frustrating movie. I didn't care for the characters. I didn't like them. Robert Duvall was great, as always, but he didn't have anything to work with. I would say it sucked.
I'm going to say it kind of sucks. And the only thing that I'm giving the benefit of the doubt is I'm a big Eric Bana fan. I really think that he's a good actor. I think this is a terrible choice
for his career. He really bulked down for this movie, though.
But, from Troy and Black Hawk Down and all these...
And the Hulk.
I mean...
Well, and the thing... The other thing I found... I did think it was interesting. They did give a nod to the internet players.
Yeah, it was kind
of
cool.
You know, because that has changed the face of poker.
Right, and just like when we talked about Blades of Glory earlier in the year, they had a lot of real poker players in it.
Yeah.
Towards the end, which was kind of neat. So I like the poker part about it because I'm into
poker. If you're into poker, if you're really
into
poker. It's
kind of a cool movie, but really it kind of sucks, just falls flat as a romantic comedy. So don't take your girlfriend out to see this.
Okay.
To see Hot Fuzz.
We'll move on to the next movie, a little-known flick called Spider-Man 3.
I'm going to ask MJ to marry me.
It's the ring Uncle Ben gave me. Go on, take it.
Make it very special for Mary Jane.
Harry.
You knew this was coming, Pete.
Listen to me. I didn't kill your father.
This substance amplifies aggression.
Seems to like you.
Looking good, Spidey. Love the new outfit.
It's the power. It feels good.
Are back, and then as you heard, a little bit of the score from Spider-Man 3.
Yes.
Which I don't know if any of you live under rocks, but this one is kind of a big thing around here.
Yeah,
we can only joke about it for so long, but
Spider-Man 3, one of probably the most anticipated film of the summer.
Yes, probably. Well,
off the season.
And it really brought the summer movie season to an opening point very early this year. First of May. Last year it didn't start till
No, it did.
Later.
It started first weekend of May with Mission Impossible 3. That was a big summer movie. That was the first one.
All right.
It wasn't considered a spring movie.
Let's talk about Spider-Man 3, and at this point,
Rock.
It is time
Rock.
To cue the fightin' words, because I think we're going to have an epic battle about this movie.
Spider-Man Smackdown here
the
on Fat Spider-Man Guys at a Movie.
Spider-Man Smackdown.
For the good guys, representing the good guys is me, Kevin Carr, and Chris Alexis.
Yes.
We both like the movies. And representing the bad guys is the Jesse Ventura of Spider-Man movies, Neil Miller.
Now, I have to preface
this. Spew your venom, no pun intended.
I have to say that I liked the first two movies.
Mm-hmm.
I liked the second one a little bit more, but I thought the first one was very well done. I really did not expect Sam Raimi to just turd all over the series, though.
Oh, come on, turd's
and
a little strong.
And that is kind of how I feel about this movie. Not exactly how I feel about this movie, but let me tell you a couple of things that I didn't like.
Okay.
For one, it was a very frustrating movie to watch because I went into it really wanting to like it.
Because you're stupid.
And and ultimately, there are so many points during Spider-Man where you are taken out of the movie. Where you have to sit back and go, wait a second, am I really still watching a Spider-Man movie? And that is never a good thing for any movie. Out of the movie at any point.
There is one scene that really takes me out of the movie, and it was, for anyone who's seen it, it's the jazz club scene. That took me out. The rest of the stuff, I thought it was very fair for.
We're going to talk about a couple more scenes later where you just went, come on.
We'll do a spoiler alert later and let you know, and you can spew your venom on certain things.
So, all right. So even getting past that, some good action scenes. I thought there was one.
Great action scenes.
That kind of moved a little too fast, but I've heard it's better on the IMAX.
To see it on the IMAX, and it's actually pretty sweet. I don't know if it's worth, you know, driving across town for the IMAX.
Right, but I really think in the end there's too much going on in the movie. I think they just kind of threw a lot of it together, and really, a couple of characters were very underused. And you know what, Kevin? I think that I can imagine Sam Raimi sitting there after they shot it all out of order and they finally get it put together, the first time that he sits down and watches it all the way through, him going, oh no, that's not good. But then taking a moment, thinking, and going, ah, screw it. Just send it in anyways. They won't even notice. We made them $1 billion in the last.
Now, you know, I'm going to defend the movie. And I'll tell you, I love the second movie. It's not as good as the second movie. It's about on par for me with the first movie. Yes, it's there's a lot of people. It's a crowded plot. And they probably could have gotten two movies out of this. I don't disagree with
easily.
That. But I don't think this is not Batman Forever bad. This is not Batman and Robin convoluted mess. It makes sense. The Sandman works in the story. It has key plot points. Venom has key plot points. Harry Osborn has key plot points. The only one that I really, you know, and this isn't a complaint, it's just I wish they would just get rid of MJ because I'm tired of her and I'm tired of her character.
Yeah, well, I even like Kirsten Dunst. Teeth and all, she's good looking.
You know what? She refuses to fix her teeth because she says imperfection is beautiful. Well, doggone it, I am 300 pounds, and I am then the most beautiful person in the world, because that's imperfection
right there. Her imperfection is still, she's still hot.
I don't know. Gwen Stacy.
But Chris, man, you know, Kevin.
Let's give Chris a chance. Chris.
Yeah, go ahead, Chris.
Lay the smack down on Liam. Not Liam, that's my son. Lay the smack down on Neil. Chris, what'd you think?
Spider-Man 3 was an awesome movie. I really, really liked it. The more I think about it, the more I liked it. The movie was a lot different from the comics. There was a lot of major differences.
We'll get into that later. We're going to talk about some of the characters and the differences
absolutely.
In a later segment. But what about the movie? Did you think it was too crowded?
I think that they handled it well. I think they could have taken out a couple of the characters and made it a little more streamlined, but I think it worked. I think everyone had their place. Everyone served their function. And I think that, again, like you said, it wasn't a Schumacher Batman movie. I think it all stacked very, very well. I thought it was well-paced. I thought it was fun. I thought the action was the best. I thought the climactic final battle was the best final battle of any superhero movie ever.
I mean, and you know what? This is the thing, and we talked about this before we went on the air, about Batman Begins. One of the criticisms I had is it went too big. It kind of went Michael Bay explosion, end of Batman and Robin kind of big. And Spider-Man did that, but see, it was big from the beginning, and I thought, I'll tell you, just the scene sequences are incredible to watch, and it totally fulfills what it needs to do there.
I can't believe you're going to go down the road with Michael Bay again.
Michael Bay's we're not doing Michael Bay. We'll talk about Michael Bay plenty when we do.
Here's where I will concede a little bit and start to backpedal a little bit, but not too much. It is not Batman Forever or Batman and Robin. On normal standards of film, this is a good movie.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying
it's a
don't
recommend
go
movie.
See
go
it.
Go see it.
I'm
it's
just saying
film.
It was very disappointing. I mean, you know,
I think people
they cheesed it up. I didn't come on.
There's some corny lines, but then again, go read some of the old Stan Lee 1960s. Oh my, you want to see bad corny dialogue?
Oh, speaking of Stan Lee, that was one of the
I think they were trying to be funny, and I don't think it worked. You're right. I mean, there's some rough spots. It's not as good. But you know what? If this movie were made 10 years ago, it would be the best superhero movie ever made, even if they didn't have as good as special effects, because Spider-Man and X-Men, all those movies raised the bar so high.
Yeah, but unfortunately, it's made now, and it has to live up to what the first two movies did, but at least live up to it, and it doesn't do that.
This is the same argument from The Matrix. People really see the first Matrix, and they're like, oh, it was the greatest thing in the world, and they go, oh, The Matrix 2 wasn't as good, it wasn't as surprising, it wasn't as innovative. I'm like, because you're never going to see Bullet Time for the first time, and so it's the third installment. I'm telling you, for third installments, I mean, good Lord, this was great for a third installment. Chris?
I agree.
Thank you, my lackey. Now get back in your cage.
Ow, yeah, no, this
here's your milk bone.
I think I got myself into kind of an unfair fight here.
Well, no, let me ask. Okay, go on. I got something you'll agree with, but go on.
What I will say is, for all the Spider-Man fans out there, and I've been talking to people over the last couple of days because everybody wanted to know how it was, go see it. Don't let me stop. I'm not going to stop you anyways from going to see it.
You're going to get all your passes pulled from Sony now.
Yeah, I know. Sony's just going to be like, ah, screw that film school rejects guy. But I want to prepare you. It's kind of like The Condemned last week. I feel it need to protect people.
Oh, well, no, wait a minute. Now, I like
from
The Condemned.
From the disappointment that the could occur here.
All right, now, something we can all agree on.
Okay.
Bryce Dallas Howard as Gwen Stacy, super hot.
Super
much
hot.
More hot,
oh, yeah,
than
Mary Jane.
Much,
oh, yeah,
hotter than
so
Mary Jane.
Hot.
And you know what? It's for people that saw Lady in the Water last year and were like, she looks like an elf.
Well, you see what it is she's got, because I saw it a second time.
She cleans up well.
I saw it a second time, and she has so much base on, because she is red-faced. You know, she's got freckles and all that,
right,
kind of,
yeah,
stuff. And, you know, that's what she goes, you know, to work looking like, and when you if she wakes up in the morning, she looks like Lady,
right,
in the Water. I would imagine. Not that I know for sure.
I would still be okay if,
oh,
she
my
woke
God,
up in
she
the
was,
way.
Yeah.
But she was smoking hot.
Smoking
and
hot.
The other one is Bruce Campbell.
Bruce Campbell's hilarious.
He is
the best,
very good,
of the Bruce Campbell performances in this movie.
Becker?
A great cameo.
Chris.
So there are things.
Chris with a quick soundbite from Spider-Man 3. Thank
nice.
You.
Nice. And
we got to go to break.
We got to go to a break. But
we got the SmackDown. The SmackDown will continue
will
in the second half hour.
We will come back to Spider-Man, I assure you.
After we do DVD roundup. But we're going to come back, do quick box office predictions, and maybe some entertainment news.
Flowers lonely, I burn out slowly like a cigarette when you kiss me. Just to feel like,
and we're back, and you're listening to Fat Guys at the Movies. Now we're going to talk a little bit of box office news. Now, the key here is Spider-Man 3 is the single widest release ever. It is going to release in
well over 100 theaters.
In 4,252 theaters, that is...
Screens.
Screens, yes. A
I don't
ton.
Think there
so
are 4,200 theaters.
It pretty much will eviscerate everything else this weekend. So
Disturbia is not going to be on top for
no
another week.
No freaking way. Sorry, Shia, but you got another movie coming out later this year. So
directed by that hack, Michael Bay.
Right, instead of this long, drawn-out thing, we're just going to go through...
How much?
How much do you think Spider-Man 3 is going to make? And I want to hear this one.
$142
million. $142, Chris?
$160.
$160.
Whoa!
I really,
what do you do?
So.
Do you do the Price is Right? $160 and $1.
Dollar. Yeah.
I'm gonna go a little bit on the conservative side, and I'm gonna say $130.
Okay.
Because I think it's gonna be in the neighborhood.
It's
of
probably at. It'll be at 100. It's going to make $30 million before the sun comes up on Friday morning.
I will agree. It is going to have a huge Friday, huge Saturday, Sunday. It may wane a little bit, but it's gonna be huge.
Yeah.
So all right. So let's roll into some news here. The one I wanted to talk about. We've got to talk about boobs today. Saw this today. a little bit of controversy around the Harry Potter. Poster.
You're so
apparently the first time this picture came out, Emma Watson was a little bit more flat-chested, and then Photoshop took over in the last couple of months, and the new Harry Potter poster, a lot of people online are saying her breasts look bigger, somebody Photoshopped it. Who cares? She's like 16.
Well, my theory is what's happening is they took it with, you know how the Hogwarts has those cameras that have the people that move, you know, the wizards can take pictures that move. This was taken with a special camera that goes through puberty as the girl goes through puberty. So as Emma Watson's breasts get larger, they're getting larger in the poster.
Nice. We're done talking about that.
We're gonna get in trouble.
The only other thing I had
would be linked to one
that
of
was
those
major. Was we got the first look. Entertainment Weekly had the first look at the Iron Man suit, which not a lot of people are talking about this movie quite yet. Got some good internet buzz. Jon Favreau directing.
Robert Downey Jr.
Robert Downey Jr. playing Tony Stark.
I mean Iron Man.
But the interview in it where they talk about how it's more of going to be an adult movie. I like that. From a
I like
comic
adult
book movie.
You mean for grown-ups?
Yeah.
Oh.
It's going to be more of a grown-up version. It's not going to be a PG. You know, it'll be PG-13 at least. And they're, you know, you'll
they're
have
using
the alcohol,
the
Tony
Daredevil
Stark
template. Is
yeah, but I think they'll be more successful with it than Daredevil
Let's
was.
Let's hope so.
Because they don't have Ben Affleck. Ben Affleck doesn't work. So, but Downey Jr. is a great alcoholic, so yeah. I think he'll fit well.
He was the only good thing in Lucky You.
So, yes. That's,
well, we got to go.
That's all we have.
We're
break.
At the end, you know, Emma Watson's breast and Iron Man suit. Next, we're going to be talking DVDs, Spider-Man recap, and all that good stuff in the preview of next week. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Fat Guys at the Movies. I'm Kevin Carr.
And I'm Neil Miller.
We also have Chris Alexis, our resident Spider-Man expert, in the cage. Say hi, Chris.
Hi, Chris.
Get back in your cage and eat your dog food. All right, now we're going to talk DVDs, and we'll bring Chris out, and he'll be able to talk about DVDs, too, because, well, you know, he's not just about Spider-Man.
Yeah.
Although, you wouldn't know when you call him. He's like, Spider-Man, hey, guess what? Spider-Man's coming out. True story about Chris, real quick. And we were in Venice, California. We were sitting in a meeting at a cafe. I swear to God, Sam Raimi was a couple tables beside us. I didn't say anything to Chris. It was after Spider-Man 1 came out, because Chris would have totally geeked out all over him. He would have just drenched him in geek juice, and he would have gone up and said, hey, do you know they're making Spider-Man 2? And Sam Raimi would have said, yeah, I'm directing it.
Yes.
Yeah, so...
Yes, and then he would have said, hey, did you know they're making a Spider-Man 3? And Sam Raimi would have said, yes, I know, I'm ruining it.
Oh, okay, let's get on to DVDs. Michael Bay's a hack. Let's move on to DVD Roundup. We have, this week, I'm going to pick Little Children as my pick of the week. This was a disturbingly fun film.
I didn't see it yet.
You didn't?
I bought it on DVD this week, and I have to watch it, but I didn't see it when it came out.
I had an Oscar screener, so I didn't have to.
I didn't get that Oscar screener. It was like the one I didn't get.
It's good, and it kind of made a little bit of noise for Kate Winslet and was it Patrick Dempsey. Patrick Wilson.
Dempsey's the one from Grey's Anatomy.
Yeah, that's McDreamy.
Yeah,
this
Jackie
is, this
Earl
is
Haley
Mc...
got nominated for an Oscar.
Jackie
well.
Earl Haley.
I mean, that resurrected the man's career.
He was awesome in this movie. And it's worth seeing. If you like Todd Solondz's movies, like Happiness and Welcome to the Dollhouse, it's that level of twistedness. It's not, Todd Solondz has nothing to do with it, but it reminded me a lot of Happiness.
Okay.
Definitely the pick of the week. Check that out. What's your pick of the week?
My pick of the week, speaking of Oscars, nominated for the most Oscars last year was Dreamgirls, which won.
Wasn't it nominated for like songs and that's it?
Three songs in one category.
You're so gay. You're going to pick Dreamgirls as your Oscar? You're so gay. You're gayer than Justin Suarez from Ugly Betty. Those out there, big Ugly Betty fans.
I don't really have anything to say back to that because I did like Dreamgirls. It's a very cool.
I could always ask. You know, I could call up Isaiah Washington. And he can call you a fag.
Yeah, you just call Jessica Alba and ask her if I'm gay. She'll tell you no.
She'll know because he stalks me.
She knows.
Three restraining orders in three states on him.
She knows what's up. But anyways, I thought Dreamgirls. It was a great movie. It's really kind of a fun movie, especially if you like musicals. And I thought the DVD.
Motown. You gotta like Motown.
The DVD is really well done. It's a two-disc Showstopper edition. And lots of special features, lots of behind the stuff.
It doesn't. Is it too much?
Ties it into Motown.
Is it too much? Because I've heard that they've added a lot of songs. Some of the songs.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of extra musical numbers. But I mean, if you really got into the movie, which I know a lot of people really did get into that movie.
The gay contingency.
I thought it was pretty good. Can I send my backup pick now?
Yes, give me your backup pick.
I have a backup pick, and this is based on one thing and one thing only, is the Fletch Special Edition with Chevy Chase. If any of you remember Fletch, it's a terribly corny movie from, I think it was made in the late 80s.
It was like 85
but it was,
or 86.
Yeah, it was back in that post-Caddyshack Chevy Chase era.
Before Vegas Vacation.
Yeah, right kind of
before
in
he
that
started
weird
making
gray
crap.
Area of his...
the beginning of the end of Chevy Chase.
Exactly. But the coolest part about this DVD, I was walking by it in a store, and it is one of those, it changes, you know, like that Spider-Man poster changed from red to black. And it changes from him in his suit with his badge, saying he's a detective, to him with the Afro basketball player look. And I laughed in the middle of the story. I was chuckling.
Are you endorsing a DVD based simply on the cover?
Yes. Well, I mean, I like the movie. The movie's good.
Oh, okay.
But
it's the coolest cover in the world. Go buy it.
Buy the DVD because the cover is cool.
You're the guy who bought Smoking Aces because it had a pack of cards in it.
No, I'm the guy who bought the Grease special edition because it had the leather jacket around the DVD.
Oh, I thought it was because it had Olivia Newton-John's panties in it.
Oh, man, I would have
bought that. Anyways, Chris, come out of your cage. Tell us what your favorite DVD of the week is. Do you have one?
Anything but Alpha Dog.
And that's, I understand, because your girlfriend is obsessed with Justin Timberlake.
It's all we hear. We went to New York City once. We drove to New York City. It's a 10-hour drive from where we live. And she played that stupid CD over and over and over on repeat. I've got the CD memorized. I hate Justin Timberlake. It's all here at home.
Well, you know, to defend your girlfriend, you're obsessed with Spider-Man. At least her obsession is with somebody, a member of the opposite sex, and a real person.
That's
whereas,
true.
Whereas you have this, like, heterosexual love affair with a comic book hero.
Yeah, it's a guy in a body stocking who I'm in love with, so that's kind
of
gay.
Yeah, in defense of Alpha Dog, though, or in defense of Justin Timberlake, I'm not going to defend
Alpha
Dog.
There is no defense of Alpha Dog.
I mean, that thing, the beginning of the year just kind of pooped that one out. Justin Timberlake wasn't the worst part about that movie. Like,
no, you know, it wasn't. Actually, he was the best thing
in that movie. He was kind of funny, but the movie itself just...
My favorite part of Alpha Dog, and I'm going to spoil this for you, so because if you haven't seen it yet, you know, you're not missing anything. When they finally execute the kid, they execute him at like point-blank range with an Uzi in the most hiked area of the California desert,
right?
Instead of burying him 6 feet, bury him 6 inches.
Yeah, it's
one. No kidding, this guy got.
They didn't watch enough gangster movies when they were young.
Yeah, Stinkers of the Week, I will have to say, Happily Never After was awful. That was even worse
another
than
one
Alpha Dog.
Just pass.
But I'll tell you, great funny story about my kids. Playboy, the Girls Next Door season 2, I think, came out this week.
Yeah, and who cares what season it is?
Who cares what season? And it's E, so I mean, it's not like they're going to be naked through the whole thing. I got it to review, and I showed it to my son, who's 6, and I'm like, he pulls it out of the package. He's looking, he goes, ooh, because it's like hot blondes on the front. I'm like, oh, okay. And later on, I pull out that and Dinosaurs season 3 and 4, which is also on DVD this week. And I said, which one do you want to watch? Are we going to watch Playboy or Dinosaurs? And my son goes, Dinosaurs.
Give him a couple of years.
I'm never going to want to watch that other one. I go, yeah, right. You're going to be rifling through my DVD collection in about 6 or 8 years. So we're going to come back. We're going to go to a break now, and we're going to come back with our Spider-Man recap and our history of Spider-Man.
Ooh.
Spider-Man does whatever a spider can. Spins a web any size, catches thieves just like flies. Look out, here comes the Spider-Man.
All right, and you just heard that catchy tune, Here Comes the Spider-Man. We are going to talk a little bit more about that little indie flick, Spider-Man 3. And we brought Chris along. We brought him out of his cage for this particular segment, and this is the longest we're going to ever let a guest out of the cage,
yes.
I think. So, Chris, let's kind of talk about Spider-Man and how it
Before we do that, I want to give a spoiler warning. For about the next 8 minutes, we're going to be talking about this. So if you have not seen Spider-Man 3, you're going to want to skip ahead. If you don't want to hear, because we are going to talk about a couple things, not everything, but a couple things and the characters and how they're different from the movie and everything like that. So
right. So, you know, if you're just skip ahead to the end if necessary.
Download it and listen to it later.
But yeah. But let's talk about Spider-Man and kind of how it matched up to the comic book, because I've been hearing a lot of things where some of the characters, Gwen Stacy in particular, just don't fit.
Let's start with Gwen Stacy. Yeah. How does she fit in the comic books?
Well, basically, in the comic books, Gwen Stacy was Spider-Man's girlfriend way, way, way before MJ even came.
Wait, Spider-Man or Peter Parker's girlfriend?
Peter Parker, sorry.
Well, both.
Well, I mean, like, because there was Superman's girlfriend, Lois Lane, and she hated Clark Kent.
That's true. Yeah,
that's why I'm asking.
No, yeah. They were, and she was very kind of sweet and reserved, and she was the opposite of MJ, who was kind of the wild one, the redhead.
Was she as hot in the comics as she's in the movie?
She's drawn hot. I mean, she's as hot blonde. I mean,
everyone's
it's
drawn.
Oh, yeah.
She's about as hot as Stan Lee can. Steve Ditko drew it, right?
Drew it.
Steve Ditko.
Stan Lee wrote it.
Yeah.
Actually, the scene in Spider-Man 1, the bridge scene, when Goblin drops her off the bridge, is reminiscent of how Gwen Stacy is killed in the comics.
Right.
Oh, so she's killed in the comics.
She's killed in the comics, and she makes a brief
appearance. Right, doesn't Spider-Man, like, get her with the web and pull her back up
break
and
her
snacks
neck.
Or snap her neck? I don't think you'll ever see that in a movie, though.
Right, well the thing is that
awesome if it was MJ. It would have been awesome. Have her head fly off.
You would love that, I know. No, you never know in
her
the comics.
Her teeth fall out. That would be awesome.
You really hate Kirsten Dunst, don't you?
I don't hate her.
She's from Cleveland.
She looks like a vampire. No,
lives in Cleveland.
She went to school in Cleveland.
She's not the best case MJ. She doesn't, because MJ just is really just beautiful face model, and Kirsten Dunst is attractive, but she's not like a
she's
model
got fangs.
Pretty. She's not model pretty. Yeah.
Was it Family Guy who said it's like having a hot body, hot face contest between Kirsten Dunst and Sarah Jessica Parker?
Oh,
man.
Anyways, so Gwen Stacy was his original girlfriend.
Right. Well, actually, one of his original girlfriends was Betty Brant.
Let's not get into that. Too deep into this.
Okay,
all right. You're such a geek.
So Gwen Stacy is basically an old girlfriend who comes before MJ in the comics.
Right.
And she's killed by the Green Goblin in the comics.
Right. And it's
because the Green Goblin also was around for...
He was around a lot longer.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And there were tons of Green Goblins, which we'll segue into Harry Osborn now. And Harry Osborn in the comics was the Green Goblin too. And basically, he sees Spider-Man, which is kind of reminiscent in the movie. Harry Osborn in the comics sees Spider-Man kill the Green Goblin, and that drives him insane. And he becomes Green Goblin too.
Now, how long... Right. How long... Like, when did they kill Green Goblin? Was that, like, in the 70s? Because I remember seeing him...
He's come back 1,000 times and been killed off. I mean, they
when did they first kill him off? Was it in the 60s? Was it, like, really, really early? Or was he... You know, was it sort of like them killing off Lex Luthor in the Superman comics?
You know, I'm not sure.
Okay.
I'm not sure.
You just completely lost all your credibility.
I know.
Reality, and this is part of the spoiler thing, is Harry doesn't really become the Green Goblin, per se.
He's the new Goblin.
He's just kind of like Harry on a scooter thing.
And you know what, like, I think so funny about the movie is he's got this like great helmet.
Right.
And he takes it off to talk. He never puts it back on, and could save his own life if he would just put the helmet back on.
Right. Yeah.
You know, he wouldn't be killed. You
right.
know?
A lot of this, you know, various.
That's true.
So, all but right. The other character that I want to talk about that I've heard is just a severe deviation, the single most underused character, and I'm really kind of angry about Venom.
Venom is very
underused. Because I was so excited about Venom.
Well,
he's the
coolest
guy.
They could have done
guy.
A whole movie with Venom. And I wish they... Well, they could bring him back, or whatever his name, Dementia, or who's the guy?
No. Carnage.
Carnage.
No, this is... No. And spoiler. You know, yeah, they kill off Eddie Brock and end the movie, but in the comics, Eddie Brock is a rival reporter for a different paper. And basically... His career is ruined by Peter Parker, and so he's very angry at Peter Parker.
But he's not Eric Foreman from that 70s show.
No, he's like 260 pounds, he's got red hair, he's a big built guy.
And I said to you earlier tonight, before we went on the show, Thomas Hayden sure would have made a good Eddie Brock.
Yeah, he would. I mean, yeah, he's built. I mean, he's a little old, maybe like 10 years ago.
Like a younger hot Thomas Hayden.
Like, right,
like
Wings. From Sideways.
Sideways, what, 3 years ago?
Yeah.
He looked younger.
But he could have been a better Eddie Brock. And the suit was different. It didn't make Spider-Man as evil as kind of made him in the movie. It also, it could change, like his web shooters were much, much better.
Well, now here's my question. Did he have mechanical web shooters, Venom?
Venom, no. Well, when he was Venom, he had they were the bio shooters.
Okay,
they came automatically,
you can't decide because since the first movie it has
that's a cool ending. Chris, let me ask you that: the change of making Spider-Man having organic bio web shooters versus his little contraption where he's like, "I'm out of my special fluid," which is the most disgusting thing ever printed in a comic in the 60s, yeah. By the way. Do you like the biofluid?
Yes, it makes him more mutated like a spider. It makes absolute sense. I think even Stan Lee likes it.
Yeah, he can walk on a wall,
and you know what?
But he can't shoot webs.
You know what else? And I heard this on another podcast. It makes Peter Parker more relatable to normal people, because if he's out there making these cool like web shooter things, and he's this geeky smart guy that he was in the comic books, people are going to be like, well, I don't buy that. Like, I don't want to.
Well, it's sort
of
like,
connect with that.
It's sort of like Batman has all these cool gadgets, or Iron Man, or all these people have. But that's their suit, is their power, whereas Spider-Man has these powers, but then he has a sort of like little cheat.
Yeah.
Right.
So that's cool. I was just curious on that.
The Venom suit would change back to his normal clothes. He could just like think it, and he would go back to being Peter Parker without having, it would just kind of just change into his clothes.
Really?
Which was kind of cool.
Right.
But the bell tower scene from Spider-Man 3 is straight out of the comics. The loud noise.
Let me ask you this, Chris. Have you watched the cartoon they did like 10 years ago?
Yeah.
The Venom saga. How close is that to the comic?
That's very close.
Because that's where I'm coming from. Because I'd never read
based off the comic. It was very similar.
Because I found that those animated series actually, if you talk truthful adaptations, the animated stuff.
Oh yeah.
Is always right on.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. So that's cool. Yeah, I mean, Venom was really underused. Venom was a lot more interesting, I think, in the comics than in the movie. And I think if you made, like you said, if you made a Venom movie, it would be awesome.
But it'd be all basically about Venom.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean,
it'd be Venom, and then Spider-Man would show up at the end and defeat him.
Right, and I think that was probably one of the more disappointing parts of the movie was I was really excited about Venom, because to me, he's in like my top five all-time
villains,
most badass characters in the history of any thing ever.
You don't think that in Spider-Man 4 or 5 they're going to do just a full Venom story and make it Carnage, but well, they'll change it. They'll change Carnage. They'll bring back his Venom.
The way it all ends.
There's a piece of the suit that shows up in Eddie Brock's clothes that never gets back.
That's true. Man, plus, the Professor has it. Well, you know, in the comics that Spider-Man and Venom team up against Carnage. So that'd be kind of a cool movie, Venom and Spider-Man being forced to team up.
I think you're going to see Venom show up again.
Yeah, I hope they do a little bit more with him, you know, if and when they do 4, 5, 6, 12, whatever. But man, that was probably one of the biggest things where it was like 10 minutes, end of the movie, just one fight scene, and you're done.
Yeah, Well, Chris, who of all the Spider-Man villains, who do you want to see in the next movie?
I don't know, probably Carnage. He's probably the coolest. I mean, there's some dumb ones. There's like the Vulture, who is, like, really dumb. The Vulture was in the original script of Spider-Man 3 and replaced by Venom.
Yeah.
They were talking to Ben Kingsley. They actually took a meeting with Ben Kingsley to discuss playing the Vulture before they wrote him out.
Don't they have one called Shower Cap Man or something like that?
Shower Cap? No.
Jeez, at that point, they can make me the villain.
They're going to bring on the fat guys. Yes! Call Sam Raimi.
Yes.
Fat guys will be the we'll just be bouncing
and
boys.
And it could be like an M. Night Shyamalan thing where the film critic dies at the end, like, you know.
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
Because it's like anti-film critic.
And I'd be like, no, you can't kill me. The villain has to come back, and then you shoot me in the head.
Yeah.
There you go. So,
that'd be awesome.
You could do the main good...
We're going to call Sony now.
The best...
Yeah, with all the pull, have you been trashing this movie?
The best villains have all been used. I mean, you've got like Electro, you've got Mysterio. I mean, they're all kind of just real stupid. I think the best ones have been used. I would say Carnage would be probably the next fan favorite.
Yeah.
Okay. Who's easing escape? Like,
yeah, do you think they're gonna do double villains in the next one?
I don't know. The first two movies both had single villains and were so popular. This one's getting trashed a little bit, so they may go back to the formula that works. And if this one it doesn't do as well as they hoped.
And I think they're gonna clean house. Sam Raimi's not gonna do it. I think they're going to move on to somebody else. Isn't Peter Jackson? Oh, no, Sam Raimi's talking about doing the next Lord of the
Rings. Right, Sam Raimi, yeah.
Do you know, this is a question for you guys. I know what Kevin's going to say.
Quickly, we've got about 20 seconds.
Oh, Kirsten Dunst said that if she's not in the next Spider-Man movie, along with Tobey and Tobey Maguire and Sam Raimi directing, it'll flop. If Kirsten Dunst isn't in the next Spider-Man, would you see it?
I'm going to see whether she's in it or not.
Exactly. I don't think she's a real Hitch
character.
But
I'd like to see her out of the series because she's...
Right. If they pull Tobey Maguire out of that, that becomes kind of... That'll be more of an issue than her. Because I think he's... People are now used to him. He is what you think about when you think about Peter Parker and Spider-Man. So I think if he doesn't do it, that'll change a lot of things for me. So.
Okay. Well, we got to go to break. We're way over on this segment. We're going to come back and give a preview of next week and summer preview. And we're going to recap the reviews.
And we're back, and we're gonna wrap up here. And first thing I want to talk about, let's grade Spider-Man.
Okay.
Real quick. So, Kevin, what was your grade?
Rocks.
All right, Chris.
Rocks or sucks?
Rocks or sucks?
Oh, rocks.
Oh, definitely.
Gave it a B? No, you gave it an A, man. Oh, hey. 4 stars out of 5, man. That's rocks.
All right. Rocks. So you guys are rocks on that side. I'm gonna say kind of sucks.
Ah.
And I'm that kind of is a very strong kind of. If there was a middle grade that we had, it would be the middle grade. But you know, we don't. So we're done. We're putting Spider-Man to bed, except for the fact that I want to make sure that everybody knows that head on over to filmschoolrejects.com. We're giving away a poster from the movie, a nice, big, cool-looking poster. Enter our poster contest.
Signed by the second unit production assistant in the Cleveland shoot. No, just kidding.
Yeah. and that's all part of our big summer movie SmackDown. So you are going to see huge stuff over the next couple weeks on this show on filmschoolrejects.com. We're featuring one movie each week. Next week, 28 weeks later, we've got all kinds of good stuff for 28 weeks later. We've got an interview.
Got an interview with Juan Carlos, the director. We got, we're going to maybe have some, a couple other special guests.
We're going to have a huge prize pack, thanks to the guys at Fox Atomic. They're really hooking us up on this one. The site is going to be just blood red for a whole week.
That's
which
right.
Which is going to look funny, but whatever.
It'll look cool.
So make sure you stay tuned to the site.
We're going to infect ourselves with the rage virus and eat a real person live on the show.
Yes, because, yeah.
You weren't expecting that one.
Nothing to say to that. So that's really all we got. We'll wrap a little bit on the couple of things to remember. Here's how you get in touch with us. FatGuys@FilmSchoolRejects.com for email. Phone number, once again, 614-388-8735. FatGuysOfTheMovies.com. I think you guys know the rest.
That's about it. Go check out Spider-Man and tell us what you think. Give us a call or send us an email.
Goodbye.